Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
And if I sound excited, it's because this I'm not going to make a joke. I was about to say this episode is banana, B-A-N-A. All right, I'm done.
Oh, God, please.
Gwen, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. Jess, are you ready for this?
I am. I'm kind of ready. I am sort of like, I'll just heads up. I'm not listening to this episode because it's too embarrassing. Like, I was there, but I don't need to be there again because it was, I lost it.
Not even a week before this, we knew that this was actually going to happen. Jess and I had a full conversation, not knowing this was going to happen, about how much we loved Gwen, how much we loved No Doubt. We were talking about concerts. It went back to like, what's a concert? It was a whole story. And then we found out Gwen is launching her own makeup line, which if I can, you know what? We get a little cynical about celebrities launching lines. We've talked about that on the show. I will be honest. This one makes sense. Gwen Stefani, a color line. There's lipsticks. There's a brow pencil. There's a red lipstick. It's just, she's a beauty girl.
The line is called Give. It's been a long time coming. And she gives us an amazing interview. And I have to say, this is one for the books, and I'm just so grateful that she came to Fat Mascara. We have an exclusive interview. Gwen, thank you for coming. Let's hit it. First of all, Gwen, I am so happy that we're doing this. This is like a total like dream for me. I've just got to be honest. I'm just going to out myself right now. I am a tremendous fan. I'm a tremendous No Doubt fan. tremendous Gwen Stefani fan. I've seen you more times than I can count, and as in no doubt, and as a solo artist. I've been a huge fan of your style since like the jump. So just to completely embarrass myself, when I was like a teenager, I read that you wore Urban Decay Gash lipstick. So guess what? Guess who went out and bought Urban Decay Gash?
You better.
You wore a studded belt. I wore a studded belt. You had bangs. Guess who cut bangs?
Oh no.
It didn't look like I didn't look like Gwen Stefani. My friend told me I looked like Tracy Bonham instead. Not the effect I was going for. So for a young person like myself back then, like seeing your style was really empowering because, you know, you just looked so confident and looked so intentional. It was really feminine, but it was very self-assured. And it just looked like you were so sure of yourself. When you started, did you feel so sure of yourself? Was it a very intentional style?
It's really what's interesting is at this point in my life, like normal people don't just sit there and like analyze themselves and go back and talk to people they don't know about their past selves. But for some reason, mm-hmm. God put me in this position to be able to do that. So I've been thinking about that a lot. That girl also, I feel like I've been through a huge transformation in my life, like my personal life. So that version of me back then was so naive. I grew up in a family where my family was the most important thing. I was very, very like sheltered, a kind of idealistic family with lots of love and things like that. So I think I was just a very naive person back then. Of course, I had my own insecurities and things like that, but those insecurities are what kind of made my style and made me be who I was. And it wasn't until later that I looked back and I was like, whoa, okay, they like that. They like me being me by all of my faults. Like, okay, well, I guess I'm winning and I'm not even trying. Like, I'm just trying to express myself, like, you know. So I don't think I was definitely not like confident in that way, but I was also just mm-hmm. sort of like floating and just going. And I didn't think a lot about things. I wasn't as smart, I think, as I am now because I've lived, you know, and I've learned. But I think that definitely the one thing that was different was being able to get up on stage and have kind of an alter ego, like a different version of myself where I was like, they gave me their love and then I gave them back. I slapped them around and then they liked that. So then so it was like, that was something where I got to be a different version of myself. And yeah. And the thing is that that's because we are here to talk about makeup. And I feel like that makeup was a huge part of that person. And mm-hmm. whether it be on the stage or off the stage, that being able to be creative through makeup and showing that version of myself, whatever that might be that day, is what gave me my identity.
Yeah. Yeah. The your makeup and your look was a huge part of your persona. And I think what a lot of girls like myself certainly responded to. Absolutely want to talk about your line. I just want to be clear about that. We're going to get to a lot of those questions.
No, but I was like, it tied into what we were talking about so well. So
okay. I just want to make sure that you feel comfortable knowing that we're going to be talking about your line, but I do have another question.
About anything you want to talk about.
Okay, good, good, good. So another question just about your broader music career is, so Gwen, do you think that you're saying it's funny that you're like, you know, you're wiser now and you can kind of look back on things with a much different point of view. But looking back, when you think about artists today and thinking about the way female artists present themselves, like so much has changed. Seeing you perform today versus seeing you perform like, you know, in the 90s, there's the spectrum and just kind of the climate has changed so much, but you're still killing it. When you look at female artists today, do you think how the music industry allows women to sort of express themselves has changed? Because you've been able to express yourself in 95 in the same way you're expressing yourself now. Like you're still killing it.
Back in the day, I didn't suffer some of the stuff that other probably female artists maybe at that time did. I was so lucky because I was already in my band with my big brother, by the way, and my boyfriend for 9 years before anyone, you know, I mean, basically knew who we were. You know, we had our underground following that was kind of this built-in following from the moment we started. We were so blessed. Like, we were obviously always doing something that was opposite of what was popular. We were not doing our music because we knew we were doing unpopular music. We knew it would never make it on the radio, but we didn't really have dreams. We did it because it was the procrastination to trying to have a backup job or go to school and think, you know what I mean? It was our fun. And so I think that, that again, kind of ties in with my last answer, which is just trying to be real and just being real, accepting who you are and just being like, but in a naive way, I can look back now and go, oh, I did that. I didn't know I was doing it at the time. And I don't think we really thought much about it. We were just like, oh my gosh, we got practice on Thursday. Dad, can I have $5 so I can rent a microphone? That, I mean, it was literally that simple. Mm-hmm. And when we got signed to Interscope, which was a brand new label at the time, we were the second band signed. I think it was like Marky Mark and a few other people. I can't even, I can't even remember who was there at that time. But point being, Jimmy Iovine, who was kind of like the one that said, you're going to be a star in 6 years. And then on the dot, 6 years later, Don't Speak was number one around the world. He had this vision for Interscope and his artists, and it was very, very artist driven. Like, it was all about the artist point of view. And he was just this very cool guy. And I never felt like, oh, I can't do this because I'm a girl. You know, I can't. I always felt like my voice was heard and my place was this creative person and people listened to me. So I, my journey, that's what my journey was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The thing is that I was blessed like that. And I know not everyone had that. I mean, at the time there wasn't a lot of girl bands. Like, when I was in Anaheim growing up, it was like all kind of punk rock bands that we played with. And so that was where I kind of would have to like prove myself, or like someone would say like, you know, rude things that maybe, or I would be like, okay, you're not going to come back here. It's just the band. I'm like, but I'm in the band, but they would assume that I was a groupie. You know what I'm saying? So those little things, but it's like, it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm scarred from that, or it held me back in any way. It was just, it was what it was. And I think there was a point where I could see myself going, okay, I'm expressing myself. And I wrote a song called Just a Girl back then, before any, that was before like we were successful, right? I wrote that song years before it ever came out. And that song was just simply like being a female and being born and not really thinking about your gender. And you just are just existing and being loved and loving and doing your thing. And then suddenly you hit puberty and you're like, whoa, what's this? Like, guys are, I have this power I didn't think I had. And wait, I can't, why won't my dad let me drive tonight? Like, he's saying no, because it's dangerous. Like, oh, I'm actually a victim. I didn't know that. Like, you have this awareness as you grow up of like, okay, I'm different because I'm a girl versus a guy. I mean, this is a huge conversation right now these days, obviously, but that song was written very naively just off of that. Not because I was necessarily angry or, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Do you think that song could come out today? Do you think that's, I mean, that song is still hits today.
It's more relevant today than it ever has been. Like, I feel like I wrote, I could have written it today and it would have had a different meaning. I think people would have like listened to it in a different way. But all these things are like interesting things to talk about, because it's fun now that I've been around this long to be able to go back and kind of try to analyze why. Like, I'm still wondering, like, how are people still interested? Like, it's, I'm just, I feel so blessed. And, so yeah, now that I'm in this new chapter, I really like, your guys are my first, like my second interview since I've started this new chapter of my life. And so it's exciting. It's exciting to, I feel fired up right now, like to talk to you about this.
Well, I feel fired up. I could barely get the question out. I was like, so, I was like humming, humming, humming. It's so amazing to talk to you about this, like all aspects of your career. So anyway, I'm going to pass the mic to Jem. Well, I was thinking about 9 years you're in the van going from place to place. Like, you didn't have image consultants. Even when you got signed, did they swoop in with like image consultants? Like, here's your look, Gwen.
It's true. I always think about that because I look back at photos and I'm like, ah, like, what was I doing? And, you know, a lot of times I'll do, through the years, people will love to do this. Well, they'll like pull a bunch of horrible photos of me and want me to sort of like give some excuse or like feel embarrassed or have regret. And I always say like, no, like I know exactly why I had pink hair and I know exactly why I had braces at that point, or whatever style thing happened was never like, it wasn't calculated. I didn't have I didn't have anybody. I did not have a stylist. I didn't have a makeup artist. I did not have anyone to help me with anything. And in fact, I was driving the van. Like, the band will try to tell you that I wasn't driving the van, but that's because they were wasted and they didn't know that I was freaking driving the van. Like, I was driving the van through cornfields, trying to stay awake while we toured. Like, it was really an amazing, crazy thing. And when I look back at it now, I think that wasn't real, but everything had, like, everything that was negative had some kind of positive, like, creative consequence. So, for example, like, back in the day, like, when you see the Just a Girl video and you go, wow, she's wearing a bindi, or she has, she's whatever I was wearing in that, and my makeup, everything about it was, that is how I dressed then. I did not have somebody go, oh, here's some different choices of things you could wear. Like, that was me with my one outfit, because I had no money, and what I had come up with, you know, like a tank top was because that's all I had, like, you know what I'm saying? So I think there's something probably great about the fact that when you have to be creative with inside, a box, and that's what I've learned through the years as well. And led me to this point of now being able to create this new line, which I know we're going to get into. It's different when you have to, like, just create and be naive and just trying to make your way as, like, I guess an artist, which I didn't even know I was back then. But now I look at it, I'm like, oh, I guess I was some kind of an artist, because I just had this visual, like, I see visually, like, I don't understand a lot of things. I'm not good at a lot, but there's certain things that I am, and I'm very focused on those things. So, like, at this point, I feel like I'm in a place where I learned from everything behind me. And now I'm starting a project where I can say, okay, this is like a pure passion project. Everything that I've ever done since I was a little girl, all of my interests led me to this moment. And that's why I think it's kind of an exciting time in my life, because I think that you can never be prepared for what midlife is going to feel like after you have your kids and you're sort of like, you have achieved so many amazing things and had all these blessings. It's like, now how do I exist? Like, what version of me am I going to be next? And what am I going to give to people that have given me this incredibly blessed existence? So that's kind of where I'm landing today.
Yeah.
It's cool that you got to come up with that look though, without like 20 people voting on it for you, like it happens now with personalities. I have to bring up the bindi because you brought it up. Like, you love culture. I can just tell. You get inspired from all over the world. And this is like a really big conversation right now. When you look back on some of those looks, do you ever think like, oh, I might do it differently now? Or if someone else did that, I would improve.
I don't like the rules that people are putting out there these days as much. I think we had so much more freedom back then to just be and be influenced and not, and it's just such a pure way. Like I said, when we were talking earlier about circumstances, you know, everything culturally that I was like basically introduced to, starting with being born in Anaheim, California, you know, Anaheim, California is a very interesting place that you don't realize when you live somewhere what it is until you get out of it and you look back on it. And
yeah, how'd that influence you being from there?
It really did influence me a lot. You know, I grew up basically in a place where Disneyland is the center, the heartbeat of the city. And everybody that is living there is pretty much working in a hotel or a motel or in, you know, Disneyland. And that's as big as it got, is like to work there. That was my dream, you know. Mom, please, I know I can sing and inside the hotel. And no, you're not going to be able to do that. You can't stay out late at night, and they work on the holidays, you know. So I think it's like one of those things where, like, just being able to be around, like, also, you know, we're right next to Mexico. So we had a huge Hispanic community, and that was that was my school. That was my high school. Like, those girls that put on their makeup, those like Chola girls, like what? Like, that's those eyebrows? Like, yes, I'm going to do that. They're my homies. That's my people. So you get inspired by the culture around you and where you live. And then once, you know, for example, when I met Tony Canal, who was 16 and I was 17, and he was going to Anaheim High School, and he basically, I didn't know what he was when I met him. He was just very cute and I was very attracted to him, and only to find out when I went to his house, I was like, why is there like elephants everywhere? Like, what? Oh, you're from India. Like, your family is from India. I'd never met somebody from India at that point in my life. I was only 17. You know what I mean? And So it was interesting to watch his mom dress up and come down the stairs, like ordained in like jewelry and glitter and things that like my mom, we went to the fabric store and it was like, you can't have even lace. Like you get to have eyelet. Like my mom was very conservative and very like, it wasn't like I was obsessed with sparkle and girly things. And I was very like, more is more. And my mom would be like, less is less. Like she was from the 60s. So in the 60s, things were quite like simplified, you know, Jackie O, all that stuff. So to watch this gorgeous human, Tony's mom, the way that her culture, the way she celebrated her face with makeup and her red lipstick and the bindi. And she's the one that turned me on. That was the first time I was influenced by that. And she's the one that gave me the bindi. So yeah. It was just one of those things where I would just take from everything around me innocently, and it became who I was. And that's what we all do. You know, that's how we learn. We learn from each other.
I think people forget too, that we didn't have social media and exposure on the internet to all of these other things. You saw what was in front of you. And
exactly. Clearly
you made the most of that. You learned how to do your makeup too. Like, can we talk about that? Like, who taught you how to do makeup?
I taught myself how to do makeup. I grew up basically like, just always, it was born in me to love makeup. It wasn't something that, my mom wasn't a huge like makeup wearer. She, you know, she wore a little bit of makeup. My aunt, my dad's mom, she wore extreme makeup, but she died really when I was young. So I mainly just see pictures of her and go, whoa, like what was she doing with that makeup? But I guess when I was about, I don't know what age, about 5 or 6, I had a best friend called Amy Hunter, and her mom had a crap ton of makeup. We're talking about drawers of makeup. So for me, it was like, go tell your mom, like ask her if we can go play makeup. And so we would come home from school.
How old were you about?
Well, I met her when I was 5, and then we were friends for like probably, you know, 10 years, like through elementary school. And that was just the ritual. And her mom had Mary Kay parties, which was like when people don't know probably that are younger, but there was these like home parties where like they would have like everyone come over, invite your friends, and then they'll tell you if you're an autumn or what color you should be wearing. And that was just always like so unbelievably like mesmerized by that or fascinated by that. So it's not like I can really remember when it started, but it's been forever. And then I was the one that always cut everybody's hair, put their makeup on, curl their hair, burst their necks with a curling iron. Like that was me. Like that, everybody knew that that's what I did. And then basically, I can't remember what age I was, but I want to say I was probably 19 or 20. And I had gotten a job at the Broadway, which is a department store in Anaheim at the Anaheim Plaza. And I worked for basically Plaza Sportswear, which was like older women's pull on polyester pants. And I used to help women try to put outfits together. And I really did enjoy that, but I really wanted to be one of those girls that were behind the counter.
A beauty girl.
I never thought that I could be, but I wanted to be. And I kind of thought I know how to do makeup, but they were like so flawless and intimidating and way at a different level than me. But anyways, the mall that I worked at, they let me transfer and without any like training, nothing. And I worked behind the counter for Ultima 2, which was right when the Nakeds came out. They were the first Nakeds before the Nakeds everyone knows now, but Ultima 2 had kind of revamped and they were this small little section in one corner. And then I worked for Borghesa, which of course nobody knew of at that mall because it was super expensive and nobody bought it. So that was me. And I was basically next to the Clinique girls and they just put me literally opened the door and said, make a display. Like nobody taught me anything, but it was some of the greatest moments of my life because I just remember the feeling that people would get when I did their makeup. And mainly people just would come in and say, can you put makeup on me and then give me a sample and see how long they were probably going out that night. You know what I'm saying? Just free.
Yeah.
And so I used to love, I used to love giving people, I'm all about a makeover. Like I know what that makes people feel like. And I know what it feels like to give that. And I know, you know, I'm the person that like, I go into a restaurant and if the hostess comes and she has some like done up eyebrows, like she's going to get a major compliment from me because I see in makeup, like I appreciate makeup and I am. And if you are listening right now and you feel me, and I know you know who you are, we are like-minded. We are makeup junkies. We are fans. We want to express ourselves through the power of makeup and give that feeling. So whether you're giving it by the face that you put on that day and or you're taking it by what someone did to give to you with what they did that morning. So I don't know. I live, breathe makeup. I have my whole life. And so after that, it was like all about, I basically was in no doubt at that point. And from 17 till 26 was just, nobody knew who we were besides the underground. And then when Just a Girl came out, when I was 26 years old, a lot of people don't realize I was already that old when that song came out. That's when it was like, okay, I did the video, did my own makeup as usual, and then went from that video shoot to a plane and then went on tour for 2.5 years and didn't come home. So
crazy.
It's crazy. I came home and I was like, I got $1 million. I had $1,000 when I left from working at the department store, and then basically went around the world and came home and was like, still lived with
my
parents.
Did you have a makeup artist at that point?
No, no, I never had a makeup artist. I still don't necessarily have. I've worked with incredible makeup artists, but I was traumatized by the first No Doubt record. I had a makeup artist do my makeup and really was not happy with it. Still look at it and go, I could have been so much prettier in those pictures. Like, he made me look not good. And if he's still out there, I'm sorry, we should have tried it again or something. But after that, I was always like, I can do it better than that. I know what I'm doing, you know? And when I look back at the stuff, I didn't necessarily know what I'm doing, but I love makeup because it's never ending. I mean, our faces are a moving target. We're always changing, and you can always learn something new. Like, I feel like even just in the last couple of months, I've learned things that I wish I would have known my whole life.
Are you learning them self-taught? Are you learning them from makeup artists that you work with? Are you learning them from YouTube videos, TikTok?
I think everywhere. I definitely learn them from, that's what I love about the beauty community. I think generally we talked a lot about female and female artists. And back in the day, I didn't really have a lot of female energy around me because I was in a band. I was gone. The only girls that I knew were the girls that wanted to hook up with the guys on tour, or the ones that actually hooked up and were the girlfriends of the guys on tour that became my friends and would always come in and my pet peeve was I'm trying to do a show and they would always be like, oh, can I borrow your mascara? Or can you do my makeup or whatever? I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to work here, but I think that the thing is that in the beauty community, the one place where girls get along is when we share our beauty secrets. I feel like everybody out there, especially now that we have this ability to upload all of our secrets and share our art, right? And our creativity through makeup, people are happy to share each other's work. You know what I mean? And I love that about it. I feel like it's all about ooh, you did this. Let me see if I can do it. And then I'm going to show you what I did that you did, my version, you know? And it's just this whole ping pong match between creativity and expressing yourself through color and art. And I just love it so much. And so I think it's just a place that I think that it's really a positive place, you know, which is, there's not a lot of that these days.
You're so right. Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was never again. Until Honeylove came along.
Honey Love's Superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honey Love products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honey Love is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honey Love. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. Gwen, I want to thank you for bringing your secrets and your, you know, your whole line and your energy to Fat Mascara. And you're giving us the exclusive on Give. You're coming to us with the exclusive on Give. So talk to us about Give. I can't believe, you know, you've done your own fashion line, Lamb. You created a fragrance line underneath Lamb. And you've created so many different like sublines for beauty brands and collaborated with so many beauty brands. You've worked with Urban Decay, which was awesome. You've been a face of L'Oreal. You've been a face of Revlon. And now you finally are doing your own brand that's just your own. But like, I feel like this thought had to have occurred to you a long time ago. Why did you wait so long to do it?
It's not like I waited. I think this is the deal. So just back in the day when I was doing music and it was like the height of everything, we didn't, our culture back then didn't like approve of like, and this is going to sound crazy to people, like the younger girls and the younger people, that we didn't go like, we didn't do music and then go, okay, I'm going to have a makeup line to go with it. And then I'm going to, we sold merch. Yeah, we did sell merch, but we didn't sell to our fans.
Like
our
a t-shirt.
Fans, our fans were not like, we didn't use them like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like we, and we were very conscious.
I would have bought it.
No, but back then the idea that you would try to sell something to, besides, I guess we were selling our music, yeah. but it was our yeah. music was our heart. You know what I'm saying? And yes, we were getting money mm-hmm. for it so that we could continue to do that. But I don't know. It's just different mentality. And I think that like when I first started LAM, I just always loved clothes. I always made my own costumes. My mom and I made all my clothes growing up, not all my clothes, but everything for like a holiday. We would, and her mom made her clothes and my great grandma made their clothes. So it was like always in me to be creative in that way. So I had the idea that I wanted to do a fashion. Nobody at that time was doing that. Right. Okay. So I started LAM, and when I had done LAM, Le Sport Sac had come to me. It was right in the same time period. And they said, would you like to be a guest designer for a collection? And I thought, I mean, that was just very unusual at the time. And my ego was like, ooh, he said designer. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, that's arty. Like, and I already knew the moment that he asked me to do it, what it was going to be. And it was going to be those bags that everybody knew about back in the day, the black and white, like Loving, Jimmy's Your Baby, all that stuff. So I did mm-hmm. them. And when the reaction were, I couldn't even walk down the street in New York without looking on both sides and seeing somebody with a bag. It was the most incredible thing. Cause not only like, did I start just being me and then girls were copying that, which was mind blowing to me that I could look out and see like, wow, you got me on you. Like I see myself in you, like, yes. And it went from like, we get each other. Like we're together in this, you know what I mean? And so to be able to mm-hmm. design something that was super my style that I wanted for myself, I mean, I was the muse for it really selfishly, but then have other people that were like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take this and make this part of my style. And it was just a very amazing feeling. So I think I just needed that like assurance or reaction or love to do it. And then I started LAM and it was just like, such an incredible, because I think all of these things creatively come from the same place in my heart, whether it's the song or the designing of the clothes, or, you know, when I did the solo records, I wanted to do, instead of just doing a t-shirt with my face on it, I wanted to do a Harajuku world, you know?
Yeah. When you say the same place in your heart, what do you mean? Just, can you expand on that a little
bit? I mean,
bit?
Like if I were to write a song, right? Back in the day, mm-hmm. naively, without thinking anyone would ever hear it. I don't know where that comes from. Like that comes from a gift that God gave me. I don't take responsibility for that. Like I just all of a sudden had a song. Like it was like, I don't even know how to write songs. Like they just came to me, you know, it's not like after yeah. a while, I definitely put effort into trying to write them, of course, but I don't ever remember. I just remember being like, I woke up with an idea and it was all of a sudden everywhere around the world, or I got my heart broken and then I wrote a song and then everybody, even different languages related to that. So yeah. when I say my heart, it's something that was a gift given to me that I could access, that when I did it, other people reacted to it and somehow it felt like it was my purpose. And so I don't really think I was kind of like tapped into knowing that back then. But now that I'm more mature, I think I realized that, yeah. but it's the same thing. Like yeah. when, if, for example, like I'm a very lazy person, typically I don't feel like I have a lot of discipline, blah, 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 all those things. But then when it comes to like my passions, like the things that I'm interested in, then it's like full, like obsession, like I can't stop. So that place in my heart, that creative place that makes me feel like I'm actually contributing something to this planet. Like I'm doing what God wants me to do, like that. So, whether that be, you know, designing fragrance or designing handbags or, you know, putting on a fashion show or writing a song or making a video or just like getting ready in the morning.
Did you get that feeling with the makeup line with Give?
Well, yes. Well, this is the thing. This is how Give happened. So I did all those things, and it's no secret that about 7 years ago, my life exploded, my personal life. Mm-hmm. My family was torn apart. It was the worst, horriblest, like the opposite of the kind of life that I thought I was going to have. And it was a really trying time for me. And, you know, through that, I had Harajuku, I had Lam. But once I got through that period, it was kind of like, okay, I'm in the middle of my life. I can either stop and not do anything, or I can just figure out what I want to do next. And I just kind of like assessed everything and thought about it really hard. And we sat down and we discussed like, okay, this is the rest of my life. Like, what am I going to do? Like, what's the plan? And I had thought about what, you know, am I going to keep working on Lam? Am I going to keep working on Harajuku? What am I going to do? And I really said, I want to start something that's not connected to the rest, the other part of my life. Like, I need to start fresh.
You want to start fresh.
I wanted to do something that was mine and in this more free, happy place that I had gotten to where I needed to be and start something that was going to be my legacy that basically I could give back after all the blessings I'd been given, you know? And so when I went down all the categories, you know, that I'd done, being, and music is always going to be there, I guess, but I just was like, I want to do makeup. And the only reason was because I had done the Urban Decay thing. So I got to feel what that was like. I had done, like you said, L'Oreal, Revlon. And I don't know, I keep telling you, these ideas aren't coming from me. Like, I really feel like it's just something that I pray about it, you know? And it just,
you think it's like divine.
I do believe that, yes, because otherwise I'm just like a normal, regular person from Anaheim, like nobody, and that I've had this journey is insane. So I'm always trying to connect to figure out what my purpose is now and who I'm supposed to be. And if I was chosen to have that much of an impact, I mean, what? Like, of course I'd have to like figure out how I'm going to give back. So I think that this line was something I thought about years ago. Now I've been actually working on it for 3 years. So you're my second.
Wait, the name is starting to make sense to me. I was going to ask you how you came up with this name, but now I feel like I have a better sense. But what was the thinking behind that?
Well, I mean, I went through a million different names. Of course, it's very, very hard, you know, to put a name to something that's going to be a permanent thing, hopefully going to be here when I'm dead. But I had GX because GX was the way I always signed my name my whole life since high school, with G, and then X is supposed to be like a kiss, you know, like you would do. And then we just, you know, when you're going through names, it's like, it just came across like, it looks almost like Gwen if you look at it with the X, because the W, blah, blah, blah. I'm dyslexic, so I see words differently. But I don't know, just it felt like with makeup, it's a lot about giving, you know. You are, like I said earlier, you're putting it on for yourself, but ultimately you don't walk out the door and stare at yourself all day long. You're giving that what you did, that art you put on your face, that version of you who you wanted to be that day, for the people around you that you're going to, you know, interact with. And so there's a lot of giving involved. I think also for me, I felt like it was like, okay, I am the middle of my life. And I have never, ever, like, anyone that wants to like question me about why I'm doing Give, I'll fight them because there's not one person that I'm like, it's so authentic to who I am. The makeup, I have went through years of people criticizing me for wearing too much makeup, or why is she wearing, is she's wearing a mask? What she's trying to cover up? Is she even a girl? Like all the things that I heard that people have said about me because of my makeup, but yet has had such an impact on everybody tearing their eyebrows out in the 90s. Like, right. Like, I mean, there's been, I've had an influence and I know that, and I love that. And I want to now, I'm ready to be like that feeling I told you I had back in, you know, Anaheim, being a makeup artist, when you're able to give that gift to someone of that feeling. Mm-hmm. Makeup is the makeup. Makeup's like, okay, here's the makeup. It's just makeup, but it's not about just the makeup. It's about the feeling that you get when you feel good and you feel ready, and you feel like when you see somebody else and they walk in and you're like, oh my God, you look so pretty. Like, not because they're physically pretty.
We say this
pretty,
all the time.
But it's not just physically pretty.
It's for
pretty.
Them as much as it is for you.
It is. Yeah. And so I think that Give is like a perfect way to describe that, because it's, you know, it's also the community that I think that I'm not speaking obviously to everyone, because not everyone's going to understand this or care. You know what I'm saying? But the people that do are going to be like, yeah, homie, I get you. Yes. Like, we're like-minded because we have, we like it. We don't know why. Just, I don't know why I like pizza. I do. So there you go. You know what I'm saying?
I have to ask you about the red lips, because I'm like a red lip girl. And I was like, who better to get a red lip from than Gwen? Like, seriously. But what's the difference between original recipe and old school me? I'm really trying to like suss out the difference of these reds.
Well, the thing is that with red, like that's like the most asked question of my entire existence. What color red do you wear? It's really hard, because of course I've worn so many different shades of red. And if you are a makeup junkie, you realize that there's just so many versions. I've always tended to go for more of a blue red typically, just, but then again, like through working with incredibly talented makeup artists through the years, like I've been able to like try different things that I didn't think I could wear or I would like. And it's just never ending. You know what I mean? It's never ending what it could be. So when I did the original, it's just different formulas. So there's different formulas for the different kinds of lipsticks, of course. And then there's going to be all the different mm-hmm. shades, and the shades is just the shades, because the shades are going to be forever. Like I'm always going to be coming with another red. You know what I'm saying? The one I'm wearing right now is basically my go-to, kind of like, I think it works for everything. It's flattering. It's like, doesn't matter what lighting, it doesn't matter what time of the day, what event it's going to, I feel like this is the color that is, you know, going to work. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that.
Wait, which one is it?
This
wait,
is which, the, this which is my, is the original, this is, I can't even read it right
I'm
now.
I'm like, what that? Original recipe. Okay.
That's a matte lipstick. So what I'm saying is that like, I have Anaheim Shine, which is my, you know, more of a shiny formula, right? And that comes in different shades. And then I have Original Recipe, which is a matte lipstick. That's the color. And so it's like, I like the matte generally in my entire career because of my career. Like I'm on stage, yeah. I got the kids all over me. Like a matte lipstick is obviously a lot safer. You know, I think most people that are just regular people in life don't like to wear a matte because it's a lot less comfortable. But I feel like this formula solved that problem because it doesn't feel dry. You can still move it once it's on, and it's just, it stays in place enough, but it also is still comfortable. And then of course you're going to, the long wear stuff that we have as well. So it's like three different formulas that we've done, but I mean,
oh my gosh, love the name. I'm still here.
Yeah. That was really fun too, because I think doing this now at this point in my life, there's already such a roadmap to get here. I've done so many things that are tying into this line, and I just want to make it feel like a world of familiar. I want people to, I know people are, I don't feel cocky, but I feel confident that people will trust me on this. I mean, I'm a makeup junkie and I'm intimidated. Like I go online to try to buy something and I just don't even know where to go, where to look, what to turn, what
you're
to buy.
You're buying product online, Gwen? You're like online shopping with your credit card? I don't believe it.
Well, have you seen me at the mall lately? I don't think you have. It's not like...
No. I just feel like brands would be sending you stuff. No, I don't see you at the Anaheim Mall like with your shopping bag.
I love shopping online. And I love buying makeup online. But I'm blessed. Like I can afford to buy makeup online and be like, okay, I didn't like that. Give it to my sister or whatever. But yeah. I think that most people just, they don't even know where to begin. Like I want to buy an eyebrow pencil, which one? There's so many, but what I'm hoping is that anyone that knows me knows that I've never done stuff unless I did it for my passion, for my truth. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Every single thing that I've worked on this line is stuff that I'm doing for myself that is my quality. Like you're going to be guaranteed that it's going to be at the standard. It's going to be clean. It's going to be sustainable. All the stuff that of course is going to be all those things, but I think it's going to be a high performance makeup. for makeup artists, for people that love makeup. And so I think that I want people to feel safe that they can trust me on this one, because this is my whole life. Like, this is what I've done my whole life. And I'm at a place where I still, especially speaking to the women that are like my age, that still want to be pretty, still want to be relevant, still want to have a voice in the world and feel good in the morning when they put their makeup on. Like, I think that there's a lot of people out there that just feel like they got forgotten. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I think this makeup line speaks to them as well. Not to mention all the kids that are going to be like, oh yeah, my mom listened to her. Like, she probably knows what she's talking about when it comes to makeup. So I think people are going to be able to trust
ageless.
Well, thank you. But you know, there's a lot that goes into that, and that is makeup. You know, makeup is very, very powerful. There's magic in the makeup.
Well, as the song goes. Okay, we can't let you go without doing...
I was testing you. I was seeing this, if you're a real fan or not.
Oh, she knows it.
Gwen, come on. Would I lie to you? Okay, on the air especially? Come on. Okay, we're going to do the quick Fat Mascara 5. It's quick word association, all right? Just whatever comes to your head. First makeup memory. You already told us about Amy Hunter.
Oh, Amy Hunter. Hey, Amy, what's up? I did her makeup for her wedding, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a claim to fame. Besides Amy Hunter, what is your first makeup memory?
The first one that comes to my mind was my grandma gave me one of those tubes that has like 5 different lipsticks in it. And the first time I ever put red lipstick on, sitting in my Honda Prelude in the driveway and looking in the rearview mirror and putting on red lipstick going, yeah, that's me for the rest of my life. Why have I not done this yet?
Biggest risk you ever took with your look?
I think probably ex-girlfriend working with a makeup artist that was recommended to me through the video director that did that, and just going so bold, like crazy bold.
Did you like it, or is it just like it was a risk?
It was a risk. Like, I'm the kind of person that when I look back at those kinds of things, I'm never going to say I regret anything, because I know why I did it. And I was, you did it. It happened. It's done. Like, I learned a lot.
Favorite fragrance?
Favorite fragrance.
Besides your own.
I like Balenciaga. What's it called? I think it's called Paris. I like that fragrance a lot.
Cool. Workout song.
That's a good question. You know what? I like to listen to Post Malone a lot when I work out. Or I listen to Rick Warren. He's like a church guy that I love to listen to. I like to exercise to do spiritual exercise at the same time that I'm doing physical exercise. You should try it. It's actually very powerful.
Okay. And then that's a nice lead into our last one. What is the mantra you live by?
The mantra, I don't know if it's a mantra, but I...
Or just like you're a spiritual person. So uplift us, leave us with something that's going to get us through a rough time, or maybe something that got you through a rough time.
I guess what I would say is really try to find what your gift is. And if you open your eyes and you ask, you will find it. And then when you use it, that will be very fulfilling. So that's kind of what I try to do every day.
Find your gift.
Good. Did you ever ask someone what your gift was, or did you know what your gift was right away? Like, you sold a lot of albums, you know what your gift was.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that it was a gift until like later when people liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're very gifted. Thank you so much for coming on our show. This was amazing, Gwen.
Thanks for having me. And thanks listening to my music all these years. And looking at my makeup
love
on
your
my
music.
Face
love
all
your
these
shows.
Years.
This was awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have fun.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.com.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.